and we host Geek in the Streets,
a podcast where we share knowledge with each other on different geek and nerd topics. So join us for the conversation.
Starting now.
Welcome to Geek in the Streets. I'm Ian.
And I'm Ariel.
And this is a podcast for the geek and the nerd subjects you love, as if you had an awesome oath you would say to recharge your power ring. And Ariel, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about DC's Green Lantern character.
Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
So many people may not have heard of Green Lantern. I'm sure most of you have, but we'll give a quick definition. Green Lantern is a tentpole character for DC Comics, most well known as the space cop, ring-wielding, strong-willed superhero that has been a member of the Green Lantern Corps, the Justice League, and various other super teams, depending on the variation you enjoy. Ariel, are you familiar with this character?
Not really.
Not really? Okay. I'm going to give a shout out at the top of the podcast to my father, Don Bassett, who blew our little minds when we were young. So when I was first getting into comics, obviously I'd like come across characters and tell my dad about them because I knew he read some comics growing up. But I'd be like, Dad, there's this new character. And I remember vividly, my brother and I were coming home. We used to walk to Crown Books down in La Cañada, and then we'd walk home and tell my dad what about the comics we read. And we'd go, Dad, there's this new character, right? His name is Green Lantern. Of course, we're saying new because it's new to us. And he like has this power ring and he can do whatever he wants. Let me explain it to you. And my dad just goes, in brightest day, in darkest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evils might beware my power, Green Lantern's light. And my brother and I were like, that was top moment in our life. We were like, my God, for one moment, my dad actually seemed cool. And many of you may be pointing out, hey, he said darkest night and not blackest night. Isn't that incorrect? We'll get to that when we get to the oath section of this podcast. But needless to say, we thought that was pretty cool.
Needless to say, this is also an Ian written episode.
Are we going to preface it?
Yeah.
So if you liked episodes such as Secret Wars and Infinity Gauntlet and Crisis on Infinite Earths, otherwise known as the Rambly ones, you're going to love this episode because, yes, I did take the writing duties.
More like I handed them over reluctantly than you taking them.
Very reluctantly. Yeah. So we'll see if we can get this one below the other two in her favorites category. All right. Why don't we get started with some Green Lantern, a hot take?
Sure.
I think Green Lantern has the single best weapon in all of comics. Hands down, no contest. Better than Mjolnir, better than Batman's utility belt, better than Cap's shield, better than Iron Man's armor, better than any other comic book weapon ever. All Green right. Lantern's ring.
That's big.
Yeah. So the way I approached getting us into Green Lantern today is I went through kind of the eras, and the way I'm going to do it is going to be Golden Age, Silver Age, the 90s, which I know there's different names for. I'm just going to call it the 90s. And then we're going to get into more the modern age.
I think that's four eras, technically.
Did I say three?
You did.
Oh, four eras. Wow. All right.
Three well, plus the 90s.
Three plus the 90s. You know, I'm one of those people that totally, it's like you see those Instagram posts where it says, this is what you thought Zelda looked like 20 years ago, and it shows the 8-bit, and then it's like, but it actually looked like Wind Waker, you know? It's like, oh my God, I've gotten old. That's how I view these three eras. Like, no, the 90s was a long time ago.
Yeah, I know, because I was born in them.
But let's go even further back and get into the Golden Age of comics, starting with the Golden Age Green Lantern. Are you ready?
Yeah.
He was created by Martin Nodell and Bill Finger, who was also the co-creator of Batman, in All-American Comics number 16 in July 1940. Pretty far back for the age of superheroes.
Yeah.
So originally he was a railroad worker who found a mysterious magical Green Lantern forged from a meteor that fell to Earth thousands of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like a big thing I want to impress for this one. He was a magical character, not a sci-fi character at this point. He was more influenced by myths such as the original Aladdin story, Norse mythology, Wagner's Ring Cycle, and so on. And later we'd know him as more of a sci-fi character. But, like, in this time in comics, definitely not a sci-fi character at all.
And I think his name was Alan Scott, right?
Alan Scott was his name.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, good. Scott uses his ring to fly. Did I not write that in there?
No, that's why I said it.
Nice. All right, Alan Scott uses his ring to fly, walk through solid objects by moving through the fourth dimension, paralyze or blind people temporarily, hypnotize them, create rays of energy, melt metal as a blowtorch, cause dangerous objects to glow, among other things. So he could kind of do anything with it. He could time travel, read minds, makes force fields, all that stuff. But his chief weakness was wood or wooden objects.
That seems so dumb. I'm sorry.
I know. But, you know, it was the early days.
I guess.
As they would permeate his force fields. But it's not like kryptonite where if he, like, gets near wood, his powers go away or anything. Right. It's just like he had no defense against them.
I mean, technically vampires, right? Stake through the heart.
There you go. Really. Maybe that was an influence. Mm-hmm. His powers were later to be explained as derived from the Star Heart, but let's not worry about that stuff, but just think of magical character back then.
All right.
And I'm going to say his adventures were a little bit more Golden Age goofy, meaning it wasn't like continuity was the driving force of the comic, like building a big mythology. The ring really serves as like a deus ex machina often to just help him get through his adventures.
Okay.
And he was a proud member of the Justice Society of America, the predecessor of the Justice League of America. And that was conceived by editor Sheldon Mayer and writer Gardner Fox during the Golden Age of Comics. Its first appearance was in All-Star Comics number 3, which was the winter of 1940 through 1941, making it the first team of superheroes in comic books.
Yeah.
He was one of the first original team players. So the members were Dr. Fate, Hourman,
the Spectre. I read that as Herman for some reason. I was like, what is a Herman?
Herman.
So, yeah.
He controls hers. The Spectre, Sandman, Adam, The Flash, Green Lantern, and Hawkman.
All right.
So Alan Scott does disappear in favor of the Silver Age Green Lantern, but would later show up in comics as more of an elder statesman. Oftentimes his powers would separate him from the sci-fi influences of the Silver Age, and it would be very convoluted. I also want to note that he had two children that were Obsidian and Jade. And while Obsidian is kind of on again, off again in comics, I feel like Jade is more involved with the Green Lantern mythos as a whole.
All right.
And Alan Scott, he had the original oath, and I shall shed my light over dark evil, for the dark things cannot stand the light of the Green Lantern. So not the oath that we previously said, or is it? Because he actually had multiple oaths, and the famous one he said first, but I will save it for later.
Okay.
I also want to point out that there was an attempted reboot of Alan Scott in 2012. This was after DC did a New 52 rebirth kind of resetting of all their continuity, and the Golden Age heroes did not exist because it was supposed to be that the Justice League characters were the first superheroes, right? Mm-hmm. So obviously you didn't want to have the originals, you know, their predecessors existing. I wasn't a big fan of this timeline.
Okay.
But they had a separate Earth called Earth 2, in which they started reintroducing the Golden Age heroes. And in this version, it was written by James Robinson, and it was part of the what I'm going to now say is the failed Earth 2 line. And he was revealed to be a gay man in the first issue. And this created a lot of buzz around the book, and it received a whole ton of media coverage for various reasons. And at this time, Sean and I were actually friendly with James Robinson. He lived in San Francisco. We lived in San Francisco. And we would run into him at Isotope Comics and their events. Super fun guy. Super nice guy. And I think a very good comic book writer. And to me, I understood his stance on this. His stance was, you know, to have a whole team of heroes and not one of them be gay seemed a little bit unrealistic to him. And so it didn't last. It didn't take. And some people still complain about it to this day. But I do want to point out the art was by Nicola Scott. And I think she is an amazing artist. And she's very underrated.
All right.
So, yeah, that's kind of Alan Scott. I could go deeper, but we have a lot of lanterns to get through.
Okay.
Speaking of lanterns, let's go to the next age of comics known as the Silver Age.
All right, let's do it.
All right, the most popular and recognized version of the character definitely is the Silver Age Green Lantern. He came out in showcase number 22 in 1959, created by John Broom and Gil Kane. And his name is Hal Jordan. He was a test pilot from Earth. He comes upon a dying alien named Abin Sur, who bequeaths him as the worthy successor to his power ring as he's dying. And Hal becomes a member of the interstellar police force known as the Green Lantern Corps. And the Corps itself has 3,600 plus or minus later revealed, but we're going to say 3,600 sectors of the universe that they patrol. And Hal will now be in charge of Sector 2814. I just want to point out, some people say 2,814, some say 2814. It's 2814.
Some can't say any of them.
Some can't say any of them. We're leaving it in there since I stumbled so hard. They're overseen by the Guardians of the Universe, a group of vertically challenged...
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Of the Universe. It's different. I knew you were going to do that.
Okay.
A group of vertically challenged, nearly omniscient, omnipotent blue beings, I'm stuttering left and right here, that seek to keep peace in the universe. Many people say they're kind of like godlike Oompa Loompas.
That would be orange, not blue.
But they're blue.
Okay.
So the book is decidedly sci-fi. This is part of the overall transition in the Silver Age from the Golden Age to appeal to the growing popularity of science fiction of the era. And The Flash, check out our previous podcast on The Flash, reboot began the Silver Age. But some say Green Lantern really optimized the difference between the Golden Age and the Silver Age. So where the previous Lantern era was magical and used magical means for explanations, the Green Lantern's power ring was derived from a power battery. If the ring lost a charge, it would become inert and require a recharge with the power battery, thus bringing in the now famous Green Lantern Oath as more of a standard part of the comic. Its weakness was the color yellow, as yellow can be explained to pass through green from a spectrum perspective, but also represents the total opposite of willpower, represented by green, and fear is yellow. And in the comics, the reason was an imperfection in the central battery, which all smaller batteries that they carried around with them were kind of like a conduit to. But it was an imperfection in the central battery or the metal in the batteries that they were made out of. So it was revisited later. I'll get to that when we get to Rebirth. But the adventures were not set solely on Earth anymore, but largely in space. So, Ariel, do you know the Green Lantern Oath?
Well, you said it earlier.
Well, I kind of said it earlier. I'll say it the way that it's most popular and kind of solidified as the version.
Okay.
In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power, Green Lantern's light. So you'll notice I said brightest and blackest. Mm-hmm. Sometimes those words would change. So when my dad said it to me, he didn't actually say it wrong. There were many comics that were older that did say darkest night instead of blackest night.
Mm.
So, but the funny thing is, it's actually an Alan Scott oath, but it was kind of retconned to be the Green Lantern entire core oath. So,
okay.
Chiefly, his main bad guy, which we'll also come upon later, is Sinestro. And he was the best Green Lantern. He was the trainer of Hal Jordan, and then he became kind of a despot of his own planet. His whole thing was order, and once Hal realized what was going on, very much shades of like World War II Hitler type stuff, he defeats him, and he gets banished from the Green Lantern Corps. He goes to the Antimatter Universe, finds the Weaponers of Quard, see our Crisis on Infinite Earths episode for more on that, and he gets the Yellow Lantern Ring, which of course is Hal Jordan's weakness, and so... havoc ensues, but he's the main kind of Lex Luthor to the Superman.
All right.
Okay, and then later, Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams, we mentioned them in our Batman podcast, had possibly their most influential run in comics on Green Arrow / Green Lantern. Now, one thing I'd like to point out of that team up is when they were on Batman, they did more sporadic comics here and there, but in Green Lantern, Green Arrow, they stuck together and they did a through story. So I think that this team up, although we think of it as a Batman thing, Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams, their most iconic work to me is on Green Lantern, Green Arrow.
All right.
And Hal would often represent the conservative viewpoint and Ollie the liberal. And they even gave Hal white temples to show that he was kind of like aging, you know. And they were aging them up, both of them actually, and putting them in more realistic social situations that often made them question themselves.
It's hotter with the white temples, just saying.
You like the white temples?
Mm-hmm.
You like that Silver Fox thing, huh?
Yeah.
But yeah.
I just remember him in that Flash comic. He had the little white temples.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. He did have the white temples. And we're going to get to that later, by the way.
Oh, good.
Specifically the white temples, because Geoff Johns is a genius. But there's an example in these old comics I always like. Where, like, this represents kind of the social output of this comic, where a black man comes up to Hal Jordan in the middle of a fight and he says, "Hey, I see you helping all the blue skins and the red skins and everyone from different planets, but what about the black skins here on Earth?" And Hal can't answer him. He just goes, and then he just looks down because he realizes he's not doing his due diligence as a police force member of the entire galaxy or Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this also introduces Jon Stewart, one of the most popular Green Lanterns, a black man. And at the time, it was a big deal because it was Green Lantern 87, which came out in 1971. And there wasn't a whole lot of black characters. Mm-hmm. So John Stewart being given the powers of a Green Lantern, and Green Lantern powers are way up there. You know, that was a big deal. And I think he's one of the most popular Green Lanterns these days because of the DC Animated Universe's inclusion of him in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited instead of Hal.
Okay.
But, you know, he's definitely got a big role to play in Green Lantern comics going forward. But I will say, kind of exiting the Silver Age, Hal is often cited as the greatest Green Lantern both in and outside of comics. So in the comics, they say he's the best, and us as fans, we say he's the best. But I'll save the fate of Hal Jordan for the 90s, because I'm telling you, Ariel, it gets crazy.
All right. Well, do you want to take a break now, or you want to keep going?
Let's do it.
All right.
The Geek in the Streets podcast is supported by the Geek in the Streets podcast.
And listeners like you.
Well, not yet. Welcome back, fellow lanterns. Now it's time to talk about the 90s. Are you ready?
So ready.
So you remember that I've talked to you about the 90s, that they were bonkers in comics?
Yeah.
So Spider-Man was a clone.
Mm-hmm.
Batman got his back broken by Bane.
Mm-hmm.
Superman actually died.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the death of Superman and what that meant for poor, poor Hal Jordan.
All right.
So in the 90s, after Superman dies, one of the four contenders for the Superman character is a cyborg Superman who ends up being totally evil.
We already talked about that.
We did in our Death of Superman episode. Wait, was that just Superman or did we have its own episode?
It was the Death of Superman.
Oh, that's what I thought. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. But his chief deed he pulls to show how dastardly evil he is the destruction of Coast City. That is Hal Jordan's hometown. Everyone knows Hal knows, loves, all dead. I think it was quoted in the comics, something like 7 million people killed in this event. So Hal was bent on revenge, and he joins the other Supermen. So that's John Henry Irons, Superboy, the Eradicator, and then a restored actual Superman who does not have his powers. And they get revenge on Mongol and Cyborg Superman, Hank Henshaw. And Hal really goes for Mongol. And in the end, Superman does get his powers back, as we mentioned in that podcast. And Cyborg Superman is seemingly gone. Justice is restored. But let me just caveat that by saying, in the Superman issue at least. But in Green Lantern, not so much. Are you ready, Ariel, for some intense, if you're a Hal Jordan fan, some intense emotional upsetting?
So ready.
All right. Hal is unable to cope with his loss and decides to test the limits of his ring. He returns to the site of Coast City and uses his ring to reconstruct Coast City by sheer will and even attempting to resurrect its citizens. So the core members come to counsel him and inform him what he's doing is wrong and not something that he can do with his power ring.
Mm-hmm.
And Hal snaps and begins an absolute reign of terror. So you have the greatest Green Lantern of all time versus the entire Green Lantern Corps. To everyone's surprise, Hal kills everyone that crosses him, even his former pals like Kilowog. He snaps Sinestro's neck, who's released to like deal with him, kills him. Right, he kills the Guardians of the Guardians of the Universe, except for Ganthet, who escapes to Earth. So now Hal is all powerful. There's this awesome cover where Hal has all these rings all over his fingers because of all the lanterns he's killed, and he becomes this being known as Parallax, who is the main villain of the event Zero Hour. So he can even deck Superman, no problem. Like, he's that powerful. Can you imagine this, Ariel? If you were like Hal Jordan, such a good guy. He's such a good guy. And all of a sudden, he's like the most murderous lantern of all time.
I imagine people weren't happy, were they?
They were not. But funny enough for me, I was growing up in this era to where I started reading more Green Lantern comics, which came next. So I always thought this was cool.
Hmm.
So I think you are right on the money with people were like, what are they doing to my beloved character? Which the 90s were totally known for doing, like we mentioned, Spider-Man and Batman, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And but for kids in the time, like, this was my first introduction to Green Lantern comics. I was like, okay, this is what happens. Mm. So the 90s Green Lantern, his name was Kyle Rayner.
What a boring name.
Well, Kyle, you know why his name is Kyle? He's named after Kyle Reese in Terminator.
Oh, I don't know.
Which we still need to watch together. Yeah. But he was created by writer Ron Mars and artist Daryl Banks in the 48th issue of Green Lantern in 1994. And remember I said Gantha escaped?
Yeah, whoever that is.
He gets all busted up and he arrives on Earth. And this one makes it like decidedly different from Hal's origin. Because in Hal's origin and all the other Green Lanterns that got their rings, the ring has like a sentience that seeks out someone worthy to wear it, mm-hmm. right? In this origin, Gantha crashes to Earth. And Kyle is just there when it happens. Kyle is different from the other, you know, lanterns that came before him. He's very sensitive. He's a comic book artist.
How is there comic book artists in the comic book?
Well, there's comic books and comic books. We got it. Okay. Easy to figure out. Just like Steve Rogers drew in comics, right?
Yeah, but he was just drawing. He wasn't like a comic book writer.
But different from Hal, Gantha just gives the ring to Kyle because he's there. He says, you'll have to do, right? So there's mm-hmm. no picking. And he gives him a new prototype of a power ring because there's no one else there. And Kyle will simply have to do. And what I always liked about Kyle Rayner is his adventures were much more about learning to become a hero. So think like Disney's Hercules, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. So he was the Green Lantern I grew up reading. And I loved characters like that at the time. Looking back at it, they're so 90s. But the looming specter, pun bleeping intended, I wrote that in my notes, of Hal Jordan over the book as this great fallen angel, while Kyle could barely get his act together. Like, this was an intriguing style of storytelling to me. It was more trial by fire, and Kyle's not a fully formed hero at all. It's a little bit more Spider-Man. It's a little bit more Robin. You know, that, but he's gifted with the greatest Green Lantern ring that there's ever been. So his abilities were similar to that of all the other Green Lanterns, but his ring had more potential and did not have the weakness to yellow. Hooray, right?
Yay.
So there is another controversial element of his original book series. So the often cited women in refrigerators decry of tropes came from this series. Kyle's girlfriend, a wonderful and supportive female character, is killed unceremoniously and stuffed into a refrigerator for Kyle to find. So this was like a Game of Thrones level holy crap back in the day, but stuff like this didn't really happen in comics. But the term was coined by a very famous comic book writer named Gail Simone, who said this is a problem in comic books.
Yeah, they mention it in Deadpool 2, I think.
They do. They do. I don't really support it so much to say is that like on a hero's journey, you always usually have some form of tragedy. Like, are we going to say parents in alleyways? Are we going to say everyone's an orphan? It's just a call to action. And I do get the idea that we need to have better representation for females in books. But I think you can't do the tragedy, undo tragedies for heroes because it's just part of the storytelling.
It's probably more the way they did it though, don't you think? I mean, like when Gwen Stacy dies, that's not shoving her in a refrigerator, like, you know what
it's
I mean?
It's not as unceremoniously and dark.
Yeah, it yeah. just, well, because the 90s, then that makes it sound like she's just a plot device instead of being like a character as well.
Right, right. And I get that. But then at the same time, I think in the long scheme of things, like I just mentioned Game of Thrones, we have definitely accepted that more for all characters in our culture, you know?
I understand
the problem at the time specifically with that kind of outlook for a strong female lead in a comic book. I'm just saying now it doesn't hold up.
Okay.
So he has a good circle of pals. He fits in well with guys like Wally West, Connor Hawke, who was the new Green Arrow, Cassandra Cain, who was the new Batgirl, and a slew of other super 90s characters. And this era does see evil Hal Parallax redeem himself in the Final Night comics, where the Sun Eater that destroyed Krypton's sun comes to our solar system and consumes our sun's energy. In his last moment of heroism, Hal reignites the sun and dies. And I always loved this comic because in his final moments, he says the Green Lantern Oath, and he's struggling as he does it, and he gives all his energy to save our solar system.
Very nice.
So that is kind of the Green Lantern 90s version of the character. Okay?
All right.
Now let's move on to Green Lantern Rebirth. Did you see this coming, Ariel?
Yeah, because I started writing this podcast and gave up, so I knew about this.
Oh, there we go. Well, let's first point out that they never wanted to let Hal go in the comics. So, you know, Hal does this horrible stuff, and then he becomes Parallax, and he's a villain, and he's floating around there. Then he dies, and he comes back as an agent of God's vengeance as the Spectre, who we mentioned earlier from the 40s, which was a very old DC cosmic character. And let's just say that glove did not fit. In fact, there was a whole lot of DC's approach to Green Lantern that didn't feel like it fit. I think people were becoming really nostalgic for the idea of the core of the mythos that it had originally set during the Silver Age. And the fact that the 90s just shoved it all away carelessly into a refrigerator did not sit well with fans. Do you like how I brought that back for you?
Yeah, even though, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though you argued against it and then you used
it. No, just I'm saying in the scope of time, I totally get it for the 90s.
Okay, you know? Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Geoff Johns was fast becoming the hottest writer in comics. He was known at the time as the Repo Man. I remember reading that in like a Wizard magazine. And he would come into a struggling book, zero in on the themes that made it important to fans and bring it back to life. And he did this in a totally respectful, story-driven, acknowledging the old while bringing in the new approach to comics. His Flash run had become extremely popular. I did mention it during our Flash podcast. I read it. It was awesome. But his next project, I will say, is his most important project ever for his career. So this project was Green Lantern Rebirth, and it was released in 2004, written by Geoff Johns, and art by Ethan Van Sciver. So Geoff's approach was to incorporate all the crazy, whacked-out continuity of Green Lantern and bring it under one banner without discarding it. He didn't, like, retcon in the classic sense and say, this is how things are now. He did organic explanations for literally everything. The kind of circular storytelling we talk about on this podcast that we love, that's rarely achieved in serialized stories. So, you know, we talked about the graying temples. Hal wasn't as old as he was being depicted. He was going prematurely gray. Why was he going prematurely gray? How come Guy Gardner was warrior at this time? What the heck was the deal with the yellow weakness? How could a hero like Hal Jordan become so evil and so powerful? And what is Parallax? So this story is incredibly well written and drawn. So I'll give you an example of what I mean by that storytelling. He was graying at the temples because the imperfection that was in the ring was actually a entity that was the avatar of fear, known as Parallax, put inside the Green Lantern battery to trap it, right? That's why they were really subject to the color yellow, is because that imperfection was there to protect the universe from Parallax. And it infects Hal as the greatest Green Lantern, and that's what caused him to do all these evil deeds. So now you could get back on board with Hal as this kind of, his character type, I will tell you, he's Maverick. He's totally Maverick. You know, get on back board that was like, it wasn't really him. It was this evil being operating through him. And that's just one of the ways that Geoff Johns incorporated the mythos of Green Lantern.
How did they bring him back from the dead?
That involves him being Spectre, the Agent of God stuff, as well as the Green Lantern battery stuff. I'll save it for the comic when we do the own podcast on that, because it is one of the greatest Green Lantern stories of all time.
Okay.
So this approach led to the inarguably greatest run in Green Lantern comics. I'm saying it's the best run ever, starting with Rebirth, traveling through the Sinestro Corps War, and finally Blackest Night/Brightest Day. And conceptually, he is responsible for expanding the Green Lantern power source, which was Green Will, to part of a spectrum of cosmic power sources in the universe called the Emotional Electromagnetic Spectrum. So green, for example, is will, and it should be noted that it's the first one, and all life has will, so it's the most primordial of sources. And Ion, who Kyle Rayner had become...
That's what my uncle called you.
Yeah, it's true. Had become a that character for a while, was revealed to be the Avatar, right? You had the red Rage Ring, the orange Avarice Ring, the yellow Fear, and I'll get into that a little bit more. Originally, the yellow ring was worn by his one-time teacher, greatest foe we mentioned before, Sinestro, and given to him by the Weaponers of Quard in the Antimatter universe. But the truth is, the Avatar itself was Parallax, and it all makes sense. All right, and then continuing on with more of the colors, we've got blue, that's hope. Indigo, that's compassion. Violet is love, and that's Star Sapphire, a villainess from the past. And her avatar was Predator, another villain from a previous book. This guy, you know, with his folding everything in it. So cool. And then we had black, which later was revealed to be death. And, of course, everyone's zombified. And then we had white slash life, where Kyle Rayner gets his due again when he becomes the Avatar.
I was green and white.
Exactly. So this is what I'm going to say. This is why I put that in the notes again. To be honest, everyone loved Kyle Rayner and everybody loved Hal Jordan. So I always feel like they were trying to boost them both, but making Hal the main Green Lantern, the most important one again. They're like, oh, we got to do these different things with Kyle. And I don't think it ever really stuck. And then we get to the invisible spectrum. I'm pretty sure that was other writers. And it finally got out of hand when we get there. So I have a short story to tell you about this time in comics.
Okay.
So this era of comics, it was the 2000s. Comics were much more cinematically influenced. And I will say that a lot of comics, I feel like there was a lot of bad comics coming out at this time. And Sean and I, we used to always read our comics, and then we'd come together and we'd like review them, what was the best. And we started realizing after a while, it'd be like, oh yeah, Spider-Man, not that great. Nightwing, no good. Robin, no good. And then it'd be like, Green Lantern was great this week. And then after a while, we just looked at each other and we're like, Green Lantern is the best comic coming out right now. For a long time, the Geoff Johns Green Lantern stuff was by far the best comics coming out, which makes sense why they wanted to turn that into one of DC's first movies with that Green Lantern movie, because there couldn't have been a hotter comic than Green Lantern.
Oh, very cool. That's great.
And it's not like Green Lantern was ever as big as Superman, Batman, you know, Spider-Man, the Avengers, all that stuff. It was really just kind of came out of this run. And so it was really, I would just recommend if someone's like, I don't know what comics to buy, I would say start with Green Lantern Rebirth and read all the way through Blackest Night, Brightest Day. I think Blackest Night for me is a better jumping off point, but you know, whatever.
All right.
So I will say one negative about this era. After Geoff left, everyone else imitated his style, but they could never duplicate it. And so, in my opinion, there was so much done with the Spectrum that it was time to go back to the space copying and venturing. But I think the GL universe was too lucrative with all those different colors. If you think of merchandising, instead of having one character, one symbol, all of that, you had, you know, all these other different colors that you could have all the different shirts in, all the different toys in. So it became really lucrative. But then the comics after Geoff left, they dropped off real fast.
I think it sounds confusing.
It does sound confusing, but if you were reading it at the time, it felt so fresh.
Okay.
Like Green Lantern was one thing pretty much from, you know, the 50s all the way through the 2000s. And then it became this other thing and you're like, wow, where this was kind of low-hanging fruit. I can't believe they never got it. But Geoff Johns did it really well.
All right. Good for him.
Also, you know, I didn't bring this up at the beginning. I'll bring it up now. Green Lantern's partly responsible for our relationship. She's looking very confused.
I don't think so.
Yeah, he is. Do you want me to tell you why?
Why?
So when I was in college, I used to rock a sweet Green Lantern shirt. And I saw this other guy named Bobby. He used to rock a sweet Green Lantern shirt. And we were both musicians. He was a music education major. I was a music performance major. We were taking the same conducting classes and stuff. And I was like, hey, I have that Green Lantern shirt. And we became best pals to this day.
You say pals a lot.
I do say pals a lot. Goes to Comic-Con with us. You know, I was in his wedding party. What else should we say? You know, my friendship through Bobby, through Green Lantern, led to this union.
All right. Well, thank you, Green Lantern and Bobby.
That's all I...
And Kayla.
You don't have to thank Bobby and Kayla, okay? Just leave it at Green Lantern.
I'll get in trouble.
I'm just kidding. That's all I wanted to hear you say, is acknowledge that.
Okay, well, so, I can acknowledge that.
The other thing I think I should mention is kind of how the ring works. So through willpower, you can make constructs, you can fire energy beams, you can make shields. Anything you can imagine, you can do. If you want to build a jet and fly people around, if you have enough willpower, you can do it. If you want to wrap a chain around a bad guy, you can do it. So that's why I think it's the best weapon in comics. It really is limited to your imagination. And it also gives distinct personalities. Like Hal Jordan's constructs look very different from John Stewart's, who's an engineer, his constructs. So, yeah, it's a great, great, awesome weapon. And it's I just think it's so cool.
The whole concept is really out there.
Do you like it?
I don't know.
Do you see any Green Lantern rings or any lantern rings more than just green in this room right now?
A green and a black one.
Oh, yeah, and there's the white one right next to it.
I can't see that one.
So they were Comic-Con exclusive handouts, and I got a bunch of them.
All right.
Anyway. All right.
It's
very comic booky.
It's very out there. I don't think it's for first-time readers.
See, that's where I think you're wrong. I think if you started at Green Lantern Rebirth, you'd love it.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe one day.
I'll take you at your word for that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
All right. Well, let's move on to other media.
All right.
All right. So for TV, I have a list of things, and I'll just talk about briefly. If I have any, contributions to make. It seems like they were always trying to get Green Lantern to be a part of something, mm-hmm. right? So Superman, Aquaman, Hour of Adventure, never heard of that in my life. Super Friends, which we all know, right? Famous for being a part of that. Not a great show. In Superman, the animated series, there was an episode that featured Kyle Rayner, the 90s Green Lantern, because it was the 90s when that show came out.
Did he have poofy hair? I just feel like he did poofy hair, like the 90s.
He kind of does. I'll like pull up Ryder a picture Strong. Of him. You want me to pull up a picture? No. Did you say like Ryder Strong? Oh my God.
Yeah, why?
You're about to find out.
Oh, well, that's just what I picture in my head with that name. With a skateboard. Or the guy from, he was always in the Disney Channel shows.
What do you think?
Not quite what I pictured.
Really?
I mean, I was thinking like the middle part poof.
He's just got that hero hair thing going on.
Yeah.
But if you look at some of these pictures, I mean, he's got the,
I don't like his mask.
Yeah, the mask.
He needs a nose. He looks weird.
Yeah, okay, so for those of you that have never seen it, look up Kyle Rayner, and that's K-Y-L-E space R-A-Y-N-E-R, and he's got kind of a no-nose
mask. Like, why does he not have a nose, but they have a belly button on his costume?
Hold on, what about this picture?
He kind of looks like Nightwing. That's why you like him.
Oh, okay. I could totally see that. But yeah, so that was Superman, the animated series. Wow, we got sidetracked there.
All right.
Justice League Unlimited, it featured Jon Stewart. And I said earlier, and I'll say it again, I attribute most of the popularity of Jon Stewart post-90s to be this show's contribution to the Green Lantern legacy. He was the main Green Lantern of the show. He was no nonsense. He was smart. He was driven, he was heroic, he was tough, and he was kind of the most stoic of the group. He had a great relationship arc with Hot Girl, and I always just go back. Hot Girl, totally. When he took off her mask and kissed her, everyone was like, dude, I thought Wonder Woman was hot, but totally Hot Girl. Anyway, but why couldn't they have just ended up together? That's what we all wanted. It's very Shakespearean in that way.
Very heated about that.
I know, but he eventually, I think, ended up with Vixen in that show.
What a name.
And Hal appears actually as an Easter egg. There's kind of this multiverse shifting stuff that's going on. And John transforms into Hal Jordan. And he's like, Hal Jordan, Sector of 2814. They're like, wait, you're supposed to be John. He's like, I'm up to speed. Noted. But like, and then he transforms right back into John Stewart. So it's very funny. Continuing on. He was in Duck Dodgers, which was the, Daffy Duck cartoon. Have you ever seen that?
Not even heard of it.
Oh, Megadeth even did a contribution to that show. Duck Dodgers. Ooh. The Brave and the Bold, which was a Batman show. The Batman, which was another Batman show.
Could have guessed.
Young Justice, which features many of the Green Lanterns. They don't have like a main role. They just like pop in as like part of the universe settings. For what? So they're in a fair amount, though.
All right.
There was also a Green Lantern, the animated series, voiced by friend of the show, Josh Keaton. He also
I think friend of the show is a wee bit of a reach.
Well, Sean and I met Josh Keaton. We hung out with him at the last Gathering of the Gargoyles / Spider-Man conventions.
We know. We all know.
And
everyone
you can
knows.
Listen to our previous podcast for more information. But like, he's a friend of the show.
15 podcasts, you've mentioned it.
Friend of the show.
Drinking game.
It was a CGI show and it was very expensive, so it didn't last super long, but, I didn't watch a whole bunch of it.
You didn't even support your friend?
I know. I was going to get to that. I will watch it all one day.
Okay.
And, it was just kind of at a time where I was like in college and stuff, so I didn't just have time to spend on tons of shows. So there's also various, you're laughing because you know how much other garbage I watched. I just tried to like make it sound like it was real.
I'm like, what were you doing? I mean.
Yeah. I was watching Justice League Unlimited and Twilight Zone instead.
Yeah.
There were various other nods to Green Lantern in shows like Smallville.
Ooh,
like
Smallville.
How it would say Ferris Air on the side of a hangar. Do you ever remember seeing that?
I wouldn't know what it meant if I did.
Okay. Brief cameos in shows like Stargirl, etc. If there was a DC show, they tried to reference it for having Green Lantern at a point, you know.
Well, you want to move on to film? I actually have seen this one.
Let's move on to film. Okay. There was a movie that came out 2011 called Green Lantern. It was starring Ryan Reynolds.
Directed, and his wife. It's where he met his wife, Blake Lively.
Blake Lively. Very true.
I don't know who she
played. Oh, and Taika Waititi.
Yeah, Taika Waititi was in there.
He was Pi in that. Mm-hmm. It was directed by Martin Campbell, who had just come off the heels of like rebooting James Bond. So everybody thought this was going to be amazing. He did Casino Royale, I believe. Ariel, this is your time to shine. Thoughts and feelings about the Green Lantern movie?
Well, maybe I shouldn't have said that. I don't remember any of it. I remember I saw it in theaters. I don't remember why. I don't remember who dragged me there. I remember liking Ryan Reynolds and thinking Blake Lively was pretty. And then I just remember being utterly confused the whole time and thinking it was a very odd movie. And it was like a lot of CGI and I didn't really like it.
Yeah. So I'll agree with you there. It wasn't a great movie. I was a huge, huge Ryan Reynolds fan.
Is he Hal Jordan?
Yeah, he's Hal Jordan. Okay.
Who's she?
She is Carol Ferris of Ferris Air. So,
sure.
At the time, Ryan Reynolds.
Who's the bad guy?
Hector Hammond slash Parallax slash we're going to get into that. One of the reasons this movie was not successful, it was overstuffed. So Green Lantern Comics had brought in.
Oh, a DC movie did that? That's yeah, weird.
This was the proto. It had come off the heels of the Geoff Johns run of Green Lantern. And I think they were trying to incorporate so much of that mythos into the movie. But at the same time, they chose a real oddball villain in Hector Hammond, who... I
mean, the Mark Strong's in it.
Yeah, Mark Strong is Sinestro. He's great. But Hector Hammond as a villain choice is just like a weird, weird choice. He's kind of, you know, controls people. Kind of comes off as like a pervert with a giant head. And then you've got this idea of we're going to fold in the Parallax mythos. It kind of comes in as a storm cloud, similar to the end of Fantastic Four 2 at the end. And, like, you know, you got the Green Lantern Corps. You've got training scenes. It's got CGI, but the CGI is not particularly good. The costume design, not particularly good. It was too green. It didn't have the, like...
It was
like,
very green. Well, the whole thing was very green.
Yeah, and it didn't have the kind of color separation of the costume from the comics, which made it iconic. It kind of tried to make it look more... like muscle tissue, but like different layers of green. Mm-hmm. Just not a good idea. The CGI wasn't ready at the time. And I'm just going to say Ryan Reynolds was not the right choice for a Hal Jordan type. And this was the first movie that kind of took the sheen off Ryan Reynolds for me. Thankfully, it came back when he did Deadpool.
Did you know who played the guy who gave him the ring?
Abin Sur?
Yeah.
Who?
Boba Fett.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if I saw it again. I only saw
aunt,
this...
And your auntie, isn't it?
Oh, Angela Bassett?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
She's Amanda Waller. No, Dr. Waller. Is that Amanda Waller? Is
pretty much, yeah.
And so, Peter Skarsgård's the bad guy?
Yes, he's
Hector Hammond. I don't remember any of this. I just remember being like very overwhelmed by the CGI.
I completely agree. The CGI was far too much. It was not great. And tone-wise, it was like they were trying to do kitschy funny, but epic, and it just didn't land. And so...
I don't remember. I think maybe I saw it because I really liked Iron Man, so I was like on the heels. I mean, that would have been this time, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I was on the heels in that, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to try this movie, and I don't know what else would have come out at the same time, but I just remember not liking it. Too much CGI.
Yeah, and I think that was the general sense.
Which is the norm now.
And the storytelling. The storytelling was so fast, and you didn't really get a chance to sink in with the characters, and so I think it lost a lot of, you know, good faith.
Mm.
And it was supposed to be something that would launch a DC universe, and it was shelved in favor of rebooting Man of Steel.
Was Nolan's Batman out?
Yes, yeah. Nolan's Batman had been out, but it was separated from this. This was going to be the
Man of Steel would have been out for this, huh?
Yeah. So this was going to be what launched the DC film universe that would be connected, and obviously it didn't.
Yeah.
So not really a huge fan of this movie. It's bloated. The storytelling is weak. The comedy's no good. They didn't get the right actor for the role. The CGI is no good. So everything that you would need for a Green Lantern movie, which again, I was saying was the best comics of the mid-2000s, they just didn't do it in the movie. So I blame it on the actual movie itself, not the source material.
All right.
So for other film stuff, Justice League featured some Green Lanterns in the battle against Darkseid shown in the beginning. Zack Snyder says Green Lantern was a part of his universe, his plan, etc. But come on, that guy says everything and will do anything as an Easter egg. So a lot of rumors persist that the last scene with Bruce and Snyder in the Snyder... I mean, sorry, Bruce and Martian Manhunter in the Snyder Cut was Green Lantern, and then they changed it to Martian Manhunter later. But I'm kind of one of those people when it comes to Zack Snyder stuff. Who knows? Who cares, right? And currently, there's a Green Lantern Corps in development at HBO Max, which I think is supposed to be an extension of the new DC.
You kind of forgot one.
What did I forget?
Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2, that's correct. Tell us about that.
Well, no, it's not really the movie. It's just there's that scene at the end when Ryan Reynolds picks up the script, and then Deadpool comes in and, you know,
Kills him. Because Ryan Reynolds is super excited. He's like, this is going to be the best move of my career. And then Deadpool shoots him. And then he stands there and he shoots him while he's dead a few times. I think that's him saying sorry for Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Again, love him as Deadpool. Just didn't work as Hal Jordan. Okay, moving on to animated films. So he appears as an ensemble member in many films, including The New Frontier, a personal favorite, Crisis on Two Earths, anything with Justice League in the title, pretty much all the big ones. And it's great, mostly Hal Jordan, but sometimes it's Guy and John.
To be honest, you never talked about Guy.
Guy Gardner, I did not talk about him. He was kind of the punk Green
Lantern.
Well, you
said his name once, but that was it.
Yeah, I mentioned him as Warrior earlier in the podcast. Yeah. I'll get to it real quick. Guy Gardner was a option for another Green Lantern while Hal Jordan was off-planet, but he's kind of a jerk. He's kind of known as a D-bag, and people don't like him, but he's very strong-willed, so it makes sense that he would get a lantern ring. Famously, in Justice League International, Batman punches him and floors him to the ground because he's saying how much better he is than Batman. Batman knocks him out. So that's one of the most iconic things about Guy Gardner.
All right.
In animated films, getting back to it, Green Lantern, First Flight. It was one of the first DC direct-to-DVD efforts, and I absolutely love it. Whenever you're like screwing up with the remote, and it'll be like, something's wrong with the remote, and I always say that, one thing, what do I always say?
I don't know.
It's user. You remember me saying that?
Sure.
Okay, she doesn't remember.
I block it out.
But I get it from First Flight when they're talking about the one flaw in the yellow ring. Mm. But great movie, absolutely spot on intro to Hal Jordan in a modern take. And this is what the movie should have been, the original Green Lantern movie. But I highly recommend it. Then we have Green Lantern Emerald Knights, which I believe is an extension of the kind of Justice League universe that started with Flashpoint Paradox. And then finally, the most recent one is post the Justice League Apocalypse War universe, where everything got reset. And it's called Green Lantern, Beware My Power. It's brand spanking new. And that one actually features Jon Stewart. Hal Jordan is in the story. They do him dirty. But okay, it's kind of part of the continuity because of the whole Parallax thing. But yeah, it's a newer one. I would say of those three, hands down, my favorite is First Flight.
All right.
Then we get video games. You know this one too a little bit, right?
One of them.
Yeah. All right, Justice League Heroes and its sequel, which I did play. I thought it was super fun. Hal was one of the characters. No, I think it was Jon Stewart. Oh, it was Green Lantern. I'll just leave it at that. Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, which was
kind of the
predecessor of Injustice, which we'll get to later.
Okay.
DC Universe Online. Hal has a great scene in that first intro cutscene. Injustice 1 and 2. Now, this is one Ariel has played. Have you played against or with Green Lantern?
Not with, but maybe against.
Definitely against. We got to play that game more often. We kind of stopped.
It's too hard.
It is hard. The Lego Movie video game.
Was he in the Lego Movie then?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Infinite Crisis Battle Game.
All right.
So that's just some of the stuff that I was able to find. All right. So this is Geek in the Streets' take on Green Lantern.
Ian's take on Green Lantern.
Supported
by Ariel.
Supported kind of by Ariel.
But I supported.
Not emotionally. I'm going to ask you, of the Green Lanterns...
It's because our dog's just a little background. Our dog made us stop at every...
We had to pause the podcast
10 minutes. So yeah. If I'm frustrated, it's not with Ian. Or if I sound frustrated, it's not with Ian. It's our stinking dogs.
Yeah, we keep them in the room with us. And let's say we put them out, brought them back in, put them out.
Co-producer Fenny is really messing this one up.
Yeah. Seti more so.
Yeah, she's not co-producer, though.
But okay, I have some questions for you.
Okay. Oh, God, it's like a quiz.
Yes. Oh, of the Green Lanterns, which one is your favorite? Now, I've mentioned there are more.
I don't know. The only one I know is Hal Jordan.
Alan Scott, Hal Jordan, John Stewart, Guy Gardner, Kyle Rayner. Let's just keep it to those five.
Well, the only one I know is Hal Jordan.
Okay, well.
And I liked him in The Flash.
Okay, ask me mine. Ask me mine.
No, I'm just kidding. Who's your favorite?
Hal Jordan. But okay. I'll give a very, very close second to Kyle.
Okay.
All right, and then the idea of a power ring. Mm-hmm. You said that sounded confusing to you, that you could do anything you want with your imagination.
Well,
and stuff.
I don't have a good willpower, so I'd be in trouble. I'd probably be the yellow ring. I have a lot of fear in my life.
You would be a yellow lantern.
I don't know if that's a good thing that you said that about
no,
me.
No,
I think it's okay
so
if I
sense.
Say it, but you're not allowed to say it.
Yeah, I know, but I'm leaving it here on the podcast, aren't I? Okay, so of the different colors...
I don't remember all the colors.
I'm going to read them to you real quick. We have green, red, orange, yellow, blue, indigo, violet, black, or white.
Well, I'd probably actually be indigo, right? I have a lot of
compassion. Yes,
because you're
a veterinarian.
So. Yeah, compassion
that makes
fatigue.
Sense.
But like...
Which one would I be?
Green, because you're really stubborn, strong-willed.
Oh, okay. I'm just happy you didn't say red.
Oh!
Because you always say that on the podcast.
Can you be a mix of colors? No, I think you'd be green because you're very strong-willed. I'm not. I would be the opposite.
Okay.
I'd probably be yellow. Fear.
I like your answer.
I live my life with fear. But if I got to pick, what is that word? Romanticizing myself, I'd say indigo, compassion.
Okay, and then you wouldn't do violet, love.
Nah.
Nah. Yeah, okay.
Nah. I think I'm more compassion than love, don't you think?
Yes, I think so.
You know?
Especially when I'm around.
In my job title. It's like in my job title and everything.
Yeah. And if you had any weapon in comics, which one would you choose? Mine would be a Green Lantern ring. You get to choose anything you want. I'm just curious about yours.
Does it have to be comics?
No.
Because I'd want a Harry Potter wand.
Oh, okay.
Now you can do almost anything with a wand, too. I mean, you've seen me in
Hogwarts
Legacy.
Okay, this is the real
Legacy.
Question. Harry Potter's wand versus Green Lantern ring, which one wins in a fight?
Oh, I don't know. I think a wand is more versatile, right? I mean, you could make stuff with a ring, but can you zap someone with one shot to death?
Yeah, you could.
Oh, you could? Okay.
Well, actually, Green Lantern, prior to the Sinestro Corps War, this is deep knowledge, their rings were coded to not use lethal force.
Okay.
And then in the Sinestro Corps War, when they were losing, the Guardians unlocked the ability to use lethal force. And that was actually Sinestro's whole plan, was to show their hypocrisy to the universe.
That they can.
And say, see, when the threat's big enough, they will kill. Look, they're just like me.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably pretty similar, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Except you don't have to recharge a wand, so probably wand, because you got to recharge the ring.
Does Harry Potter have like an awesome oath?
I solemnly swear I'm up to no good.
Good answer.
I mean, they're probably pretty equal, except I think the fact that you have to recharge the ring probably gives it a downside. Now, if you're playing Hogwarts Legacy, you do have to recharge your spells. So maybe if you're playing those rules, they're about the same.
Okay, we're coming back to...
I don't know.
To...
There's probably someone who's done a deep dive on this in the internet. Probably a video you'll watch one day when you're sleeping off a hangover.
Absolutely. Now, if I was going to say one thing that I'm going to assign you for the future is I think you should one day read Green Lantern Rebirth. I think all this stuff does sound very confusing. I think the point of our podcast was to elucidate some of this, and I think we just confused everyone instead. But if you read Green Lantern Rebirth, I think it's an awesome hopping on place for any sort of space-centric operatic comic.
Yeah, but we learned those aren't really my style of comics. Like,
yeah,
that was
true.
The part of Infinity Gauntlet I didn't like, right?
That's true.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I won't try it. I'll try it. But I just don't want you to set your expectations too high.
But Rebirth definitely reads more modern than something like Infinity Gauntlet.
It does?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll give it a try one day. I'll give it a try. And I will say you did a good job because, like I said, I started trying to write this podcast and I got very confused. And I said, I gave up and I was like, you got to write it, Ian, because it's too confusing. It's too much stuff.
Can I tell them what I failed on?
What?
So Arielle tends to write her notes a little bit more sparse so we can interject and talk to each other. And mine are super dense, so I talk the whole time. And I said, I'm going to write it like you. And then I didn't. The notes were still six pages of dense because there's so much I want to say about this character.
Well, there is a lot. I'll give you that. That's the hard thing about these ones that are like a character who's been around for...
He's one of my favorite characters in comics. I know I say that a lot in podcasts.
You say that every character we talk about.
But he really, like, I own...
Except for if they're mine.
I own a whole slew of Green Lantern comics.
I don't see any over here.
Because I have so many of the actual... Those are trades. I don't need the trades because I have so much of the original single issues of the comics. Like, all the Geoff Johns stuff, I don't have any of the trades. I have all the single issues. My old Green Lantern comics, single issues. Emerald Dawn. I got 25 cents at the bargain bin. Okay, okay.
I got one for you. Just a quick question, and then I think we're done. Who is your ideal casting for Hal Jordan, then? Now, currently, if they're going to reboot him, if you're gonna have James Gunn do it, who knows? But no offense to James Gunn. He's going to go more jokey for everything, I think. But your ideal Hal Jordan casting?
Timothy Chalamet.
What? I hope you're kidding.
I was totally kidding. I have no idea. Here's the thing. I have actors through different eras that I thought would have been amazing Hal Jordans, but none of them are currently the
What's
right
his age. Like, what do you think he'd be like in his 30s, 40s?
Yeah, he'd be like 29. You know, that old classic hero age.
No, I think he'd be a little older.
You can definitely go older with Hal Jordan, but if he's first getting the ring, he's got to be a little bit younger. Yeah, I'd say, you know, in his 20s.
I think that Ryan Reynolds looks like him.
Yeah. Again, Ryan Reynolds looks like so many superheroes, right? Because of his, you know, chiseled good looks and all that. I don't know. Who's a good
And then he's Deadpool.
Then he's Deadpool, yeah.
Well, I mean, like, chiseled good looks, and then you have him as Deadpool.
I've seen online some talk about Glenn Powell because he was in Top Gun. It would make sense.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Yeah. And then you've talked about, before, I think you said Jensen Ackles, and you said someone else.
By the way, I think Glenn Powell would be a great Barry Allen, and then Miles Teller could be a great Hal Jordan.
What about Taron Egerton?
Taron Egerton?
Yeah. I know he's British, but he does an American accent.
I see someone more American in the role.
Okay, all right.
James Marsden, people have brought
up. Yeah, he's a little older now, though.
He is a little old. That's the thing, is I think most of the fan casting you'll see online is of older actors.
Yeah, well, it's because I think people have wanted to see him for a while. I think Glenn Powell's I actually was thinking Timothy Oliphant, but I think he's probably too old now.
But with the gray on the sides, he could totally pull it off.
Is that his real hair?
Yeah. I just pulled up a picture, everyone. That's what she's referring to.
Yeah, so, I don't know a lot of young actors. That's my problem. Miles Teller, right?
Yeah, so that's what I was saying earlier. Miles Teller with Glenn Powell as Barry Allen.
Oh, okay. So, but Glenn Powell doesn't have red hair.
Brown hair. But you could dye it. Actors dye their hair all the time.
Red's a hard color.
I think in terms of face looking, maybe Jensen is the most dead ringer.
Yeah. And they could make him, like, an older version. Jensen's not that old.
Well, you know, that brings up an interesting point.
Early 40s?
I think that if they do Hal Jordan, they likely will do someone older to make
room. In my mind, it makes more sense.
Well, to make room for the next Green Lantern. So you could do Jon Stewart or Kyle Rayner and, you know, have Hal on his way out in the first movie.
Yeah. Okay.
So
Sam Claflin. What?
All right. Should we end it?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening to this Green Lantern comic. If you liked what you heard.
Comic.
Podcast. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe, even though I say comic instead of podcast.
even though you don't know what media we're doing.
That's right. You do this all the time, watching.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
tell your friends. And we've been the nerds, and now you are in the herd about Green Lantern in brightest day.
The Geek in the Streets podcast can be found on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you find your podcasts.
Find us.
Now.